You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International desk on our go.
Kilmer Abrego Garcia, a man legally in the United States, was wrongly deported to a maximum security prison in El Salvador earlier this month. The Trump administration is refusing to bring Abrego Garcia back to the United States, despite a Supreme Court ruling stating Trump must facilitate this process. Mr. Abrego Garcia's wife, Jennifer Vaquez Suda, who is a U.S. citizen, has said both the U.S. and El Salvador governments are playing political games with her husband's life. Activists and legal experts have raised concern about Abrego Garcia's treatment, particularly the fact he was denied due process, including a proper hearing, before he was deported. I spoke to Associate Professor Jean Lance Rees from the Gould School of Law at the University of Southern California about Abrego Garcia's removal from the US and what this means for the rule of law. I started by asking if she could explain how the US failed to follow proper procedure during his deportation.
Yes, so individuals who come to the U.S. who are likely to be persecuted in their home country for protected grounds, so that's for their religion or their race, their political opinion, nationality, or if they're a member of a particular social group, if they can be persecuted by the government or by someone the government's unwilling or unable to protect, they can get status in the U.S. It's either asylum or something called withholding of removal, which is what Mr. Abrego Garcia had. Withholding of removal is, you have to basically prove the same thing as asylum, and it's permission to be in the U.S. indefinitely. So you can spend the rest of your life in the U.S. with work authorization. Now, if the government wants to take away that withholding status, let's say country conditions have changed and you're no longer likely to be persecuted in your home country, or you commit certain crimes, because in order to get withholding of removal, you can't have criminal convictions, you can't have committed serious crimes outside the U.S. or have supported terrorism. So if the government decides that they want to take away your withholding status, then they should reopen immigration proceedings in front of an immigration judge and provide evidence that you are no longer eligible for withholding or removal. So here what the government did is they just deported Mr. Abrego Garcia. And I hesitate to use the word deported because deported implies that there was due process. Here he was just removed from the U.S., and put in a prison in El Salvador that was against an order of an immigration judge telling the government you can't remove him to El Salvador, and without the due process of having a proceeding where the government presents evidence that he's no longer eligible for withholding of removal.
What conditions will Abrego Garcia be facing in El Salvador, and are they consistent with his rights?
Well, so there are human rights reports of serious torture and disappearances happening in the prison in El Salvador, including reports by the U.S. State Department human rights reports. One thing that is unclear is the government has made claims that El Salvador has an interest in detaining Mr. Abrego Garcia, but there's been no evidence provided that Mr. Abrego Garcia has committed a crime in El Salvador or that he's being kept pursuant to Salvador law. So based on the evidence provided and statements made, it appears that the U.S. government has removed Abrego Garcia to the Salvadoran prison based on agreement between El Salvador and the U.S., where El Salvador would house U.S. immigration detainees for $6 million. And so therefore, Mr. Abrego Garcia is being held pursuant to this agreement where the U.S. placed him there, as opposed to a situation where he committed a crime in El Salvador and the El Salvador government has arrested him for violating their rules. And I would just add, under, part of Mr. Abrego Garcia's withholding of removal case, as I understand it, was that he was likely to be persecuted by the government or by gangs. And all this talk of him being a suspected MS-13 gang member in the U.S. is only increasing the danger that he faces being in this prison with other MS-13 gang members. So I think it's a very terrifying situation for Mr. Abrego Garcia, because he's likely facing really horrible conditions and is at risk. And I would add that there isn't any evidence that has really been presented that he is a gang member, but there are statements being made by the U.S. government that there is evidence. So it's unclear. But that's why he should have had due process, because then the government could have provided information related to those accusations, and an immigration judge would determine whether or not he should have his withholding of removal status terminated because he is a member of MS-13.
The Supreme Court has required the U.S. to facilitate his return. Why hasn't this happened?
The government is taking the position that they are not legally required to return Mr. Abrego Garcia to the United States, because that would involve the government to engage in foreign diplomatic relations with El Salvador to compel El Salvador to release him, and that the judge doesn't have the authority to do that. For example, the judge can't order the government to take certain positions in peace negotiations regarding the, you know, Israel-Gaza war. So they're saying this is comparable to that. The Supreme Court has said that they made a mistake and they should bring him back to correct that error, and that the judge can order the government to what's called facilitate his return, but they should be mindful of the president's authority when it comes to foreign relations. Abrego Garcia's lawyers have said Mr. Abrego Garcia is in El Salvador because the U.S. government put him there, so the U.S. government should be able to take him out of there and return him. And the government White House, the White House spokespeople are saying we don't have to do anything. The government, the judge has no power to order us. But it's not that clear, because if Mr. Abrego Garcia is in a Salvador prison pursuant to the U.S. putting him there, and the U.S. therefore has constructive control over him, then they are required to return him. I would say that also, I don't know if you saw Bukele and Trump in the Oval Office and some of the statements made, I think make Mr. Abrego Garcia's case stronger. Trump has said, I can't order Bukele to do anything. Bukele has said, I can't smuggle him across the border if the U.S. doesn't want him. And so to me, what that says is Bukele would do it if the president said he needs to be brought back.
Does this signal a shift in the relationship between the executive and judicial branches of government?
It seems to me a little bit like a game of chicken right now, that the government lawyers are still making arguments that they are legally complying with the order to the extent that the judge has the power to order them. So they've said, we've removed domestic obstacles to Mr. Abrego Garcia returning, but we can't go into El Salvador and bring him back. So I feel like the government's just really making arguments that are a little disingenuous, that are kind of, they're not saying we're not going to obey the law. They're playing games with the law and saying, well, we're still complying with the law. And I think the judge now is going to have to become more aggressive in the order and is going to have to push further for more action and hold the government accountable. In a related case, under the Alien Enemies Act, one of the judges today said that they could hold the government in contempt of court for failing to follow a court order. So when I say it's a game of chicken, I think both are kind of pushing as far as they can. And one thing that needs to be kind of remembered is with the balance of powers, the judicial branch, the presidential branch, and congressional branch, they all rely on interacting with each other and respecting each other's authority. So if you have one branch not respecting the authority of the other, and the other branch not having the ability to really enforce the president to respect their authority, then we're in uncharted territory here. And the balance of power is not working.
How unique is this case? And is it something that could happen again?
I think this case is unique because it's a situation where the government has admitted to doing something wrong and then has said there's nothing you can do about it. So they've admitted to violating U.S. law. And I don't think they've admitted to, well, I should take that back. They've said this is an administrative error, but they have admitted that they had made a mistake. And to say that we've made a mistake, but you can't order us to fix it, is a very strong position. And I think it could happen because you would have to put trust that they wouldn't make another mistake. But based on the context of all the other actions the president is taking with aggressive mass deportations, with canceling people's immigration status in the U.S., with arresting people who have protested, who are non-citizens, I don't think that there's that faith in the executive that they won't make a mistake. And so the concern here is the president could deport anyone, including a U.S. citizen, to a prison in a foreign country, say, oops, we made a mistake, but now they have to spend the rest of their life in that prison because there's nothing we can do about it. So I think that's the concern. And that's why this is such a unique case, because this battle between the judicial and the president's powers are taking place on this kind of immigration stage.
And is there anything else about Abrego Garcia's case people should know?
I think the violation of due process is concerning because the president has said the judge doesn't have the authority to order them to bring back Abrego Garcia because the judge can't order the president to behave in a certain way in foreign relations. But they're also saying that he's a bad guy and he shouldn't be returned. And so what's concerning about that is the president seems to be arguing that if you have been determined to be a bad person by the government, and we haven't really seen evidence of that, then you can be denied due process. I think that's what the implication is, and that's very troubling.
That was University of Southern California Law School Associate Professor Jean Lance-Rees on the deportation of Kilmer Abrego Garcia and what this means for the rule of law.
International Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.